It's good to see you today. If you were in the early service, you can't answer any of these things, okay, that I'm about to mention, so you can't say that, all right? Who knows what Kermit the Frog and John the Baptist have in common? Who knows what they have in common? Say that again. They had a big mouth. Nope, that's not what I'm looking for. Anyone know what Kermit the Frog and John the Baptist have in common? They have the same middle name. They do. Same middle name, The. That was on one of my psychology tests one time. It was IDC, because he always told us, I'm going to give you one that it doesn't matter if you answer it or not. I'm going to give you credit for it. It's IDC, I don't care, days. What they have in common. Today we're looking at the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. And it's amazing how it is exactly where we live. It's dealing with false prophets and false news, fake news. Same thing, right? Fake is, if you ask the question, what is it that false prophets and fake news have in common? What do they have? They both lie. Both are lies. You know, false prophets told a lie. Fake news tells a lie. Same thing. You know, it's kind of funny. This past week, our illustrious government has been talking about starting a Ministry of Truth. Remember that one? Department of, what's the other word they use? Declaration or misinformation. Yeah. In the same week, they posted, the White House posted this, that there was no COVID vaccine before Biden was president. Well, that didn't last long. One lady wrote in and said, wait a minute, he had two treatments before he was inaugurated. Was that sugar water? What did he have? Well, finally, they cleared it up and they said, well, that's not true, but they didn't take down the post. What is that? That's a lie. That's what it is. It's all over the place. That's what was going on in Acts chapter 15. False prophets. What does that mean? They're telling you a lie. They're not telling you the truth. And it's the same thing today. Because here's the question. How is a person saved? How you get to heaven? That's what that means. If you don't know what saved means, if you don't know what church is, you don't know anything about it. That means when you die, how is it that you cannot be damned in a confining place called hell, but you can go to heaven? How does that happen? I mean, how's it done? And that's what the Jerusalem Council was about. It was about the Jews. We have to shorten this because we realize we have way more than we have time for. But Danny's going to put all this up in case you want to go back and research it, because there's just so much that I'm just going to talk about the high spots in it. Okay. G.K. Chesterton wrote this 111 years ago. If you don't know who G.K. Chesterton is, look him up. If you get a chance, read some of his stuff. He's a brilliant journalist who was a saved Catholic that, man, they were dealing with the same nonsense that we're dealing with. You know, we think all this stuff's new. It's not new. Look what he said. I have heard that in some debating clubs, you know, we still have them, we just don't call them clubs. In some debating clubs, that there's a rule that the members cannot discuss politics or religion. How about that? I cannot imagine what in the world they have to talk about if you can't discuss those two things. That's what he said. But it's quite evident that they have ruled out the only two subjects which are either important or amusing. Boy, ain't that the truth. Politics is amusing right now. The thing is part of a certain modern tendency, he says, to avoid things because they lead to warmth. Heated discussions, okay? That's a nice way of saying it, right? Warmth. Whereas, obviously, we ought, even in a social sense, to seek those things out specially. Why? That's the two most important things in our life. What is going on in the government that affects our life every day, and what's going to happen when we die? Isn't that about it? I remember when Meredith was playing volleyball in Atlanta, and we got to know some of the people, and you know, right away, one of them said to me, you know, we don't talk about politics and we don't talk about religion. I said, what do we get to talk about then? We don't have anything. That's the two most important things in my life. You take those out, I don't have anything to talk about. I ain't going to sit around and just talk about what's going on in the weather. And it's the same thing that was going on then. It's not anything new. And he says, the warmth of the discussion is as much a part of hospitality as the warmth of the fire. Wow. You know, in our day and time, my goodness, you can't disagree with anybody. Therefore, you can't talk to them about it. Right? I mean, come on. Hello? Ain't that a deal right now? If you disagree, you're a hater. Well, let me tell you something. They disagreed in Acts chapter 15, but they were able to talk about it. And then they had to come to a place where they say, okay, what are we going to do about this? And they went to the Jerusalem Council in Jerusalem, and they settled the issue, but they did go back and forth talking about it in a pretty heated discussion. Absolutely. You know, let me be the first one to say, there is no one on the earth that I agree with about everything. I don't even agree with me about everything. Some things I do, I don't even agree with that. You say, well, isn't that wrong? Yes, it's wrong. I'm just being honest. There's some things that sometimes people in the family will say, I'm thinking, uh-oh, this ain't good. But we do it anyway. So, and I disagree with it. So, yeah, I disagree with my own self. And it's okay to disagree with somebody. You don't have to fight about it. But it's okay to disagree. You know, and now it's like, oh, no, we just can't even talk about it. They talked about it. Because let me tell you something. It was a major issue, and it's still a major issue. How is a person delivered from the penalty of their sin? That is still the main thing. That's what it was then. The main thing is, how is a person saved? Do you have to work for it, or is it by the grace of God? That is the issue. We're going to read the verses, part of them real, real quick. Go back and read the whole chapter when you get home. I just had to hurry through some of it just to set the context because we don't have enough time. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren. They came down from Judea down to Antioch is where Paul and them were. And when they came down there, you know, why down? Jerusalem's the highest place. So if you go anywhere from Jerusalem, you're going down. Okay, that's all it means. There's no hidden analogy in there for something else. Literally, they geographically went from a high spot to a low spot. And they say, except you be circumcised after the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Ceremony. They said, oh no, it ain't just, you got to have all the ceremony. It'd be like this. Oh, you got to be baptized, or you got to have church membership, or you got to do this. You can't just trust in the faith in Jesus. Basically, that's what this was and still is. I mean, it's the same issue. And when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension, oh boy, they disagreed. They said, oh, wait a minute, no certain, no small thing. Boy, it was a serious conversation, let me tell you. And questioning with them, the brethren pointed that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about the question. Why? Jerusalem was the birth of the church, okay? In a sense, that's where the headquarters was, so everything that's being taught is coming from Jerusalem, so anything that needed to be tested, it had to come from there. You know, it's like church councils were in our day. I mean, in our church history. You go back and you look at the major councils that they had, all kind of councils, a lot of them serious councils, where they made decisions about was Jesus fully God and was Jesus fully man. And same thing. I mean, there has to trickle down from somebody important that decides. So they send these guys up to the church at Jerusalem because the guys who came down starting this nonsense did not have the authority of the church in Jerusalem to say this. You know how that goes, right? There's always rebels that come out of some situation, and you say, well, they're not believing what the group that they say they're with believes, all right? So they send them up there, and they say, we got to get this straightened out, because here's what would happen. Satan would have had his way in causing a major race relationship deal that's already existed between the Jews and the Gentiles, and he also would have taken away the very thing that God saves us by grace, not by works. Big issues. They're still out there. I mean, we still deal with that. And when they come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and the elders, and they rehearsed all the things that they had a conversation. And they started talking about, well, we saw this and we saw this. And go. Now remember, Paul and Barnabas are 10-year veterans. They've been the ones out there talking to the Gentiles and seeing the Gentiles saved. And you'll see it come up with Peter in just a moment, how he uses those things. Past generation thing that God has done is evidence. This is the way it is. The power of the Holy Spirit is present. Miracles are being done. All of these, and so all this is going on in this serious conversation. I mean, all of it is going on. And there rose up certain of the sects while they're talking about it. Some of the Pharisees, you know, the Pharisees were the literalists. You know, they were the conservatives of the bunch. The Sadducees, they didn't believe in heaven, and they didn't believe in hell, and they didn't believe in angels. I mean, they were lost, basically. But the Pharisees could be saved. And so they come and they say, oh, no. You got to say it's Jesus plus all these ceremonial things. Circumcision and keeping the law and doing all these things. Oh, it ain't just Jesus. That was the issue. Isn't evil to circumcise them and to charge them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider. That's why they're there. We got to work this thing out. And where there had been much questioning, Peter. Wow. Peter was the man, all right? You know why? Jesus said, I'm going to start this thing with you, Peter. And that's exactly what he did. He was the main guy for a long time. Everything came from that. And you remember what happened with Cornelius and Peter just a few chapters back? When Peter said, I'd never have anything to do with these Gentiles. And then he brought Cornelius in his life and he said, oh yeah. And God saved Cornelius without being circumcised and without going through Jewish rituals and all this stuff. So when Peter steps up to speak, everybody honors him as he is the Pope. Now, Peter wasn't a Pope. He wasn't the first Pope. But I'm saying, if you understand how Catholics look at the Pope, Peter was the man. So when Peter stands up, everybody listens. Why? Because he is the one, if anybody was ever against Gentiles, he was going to be. But God changed him. And so when Peter said, and he said unto them, brethren, you know that a good while ago, years ago, didn't just happen. And when God saved all them, he didn't apply all this stuff y'all trying to make them do. You know, God saved them without making them do all this stuff. That by the mouth of the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. They heard the word and they placed their faith and they were saved. That's what it was. And God who knows the heart bore witness and given them the Holy Spirit, even as it did unto us. Evidence. Why? Lost people don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't. They have a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. I watched a short little testimony of a Thai Buddhist, a young man actually, when it started. And he was talking about how his transition came, that he became a Christian, and he was possessed by demons and really didn't understand what was going on. And, you know, his family was strictly Buddhist, and he was going to a university in Massachusetts as probably a 19-year-old guy when it started. And he just started seeing things around the house, and nobody was there. And he just said, I just started feeling cold all the time, and I couldn't do anything about it. And I'd go to school, and everybody's sitting there in shorts. And he said, I'm wearing coats because I'm so cold, and I don't know what's going on. So he goes to church with a friend one time, and a Christian church, and happened that the guy is talking about demons. And so 10 years later, this whole process is going on, and he realized. And he trusts Christ, and he says he starts to feel his feet get warm, and it goes throughout his whole body, and then it's gone. And then he starts going to church, and he starts learning out. Absolutely, is what it was. When Christ came in, the demons had to leave. And that's exactly what happened. It was a process. Lost people don't have the Holy Spirit. Lost people saved people cannot be demon-possessed because the demons cannot reside where Jesus is. He said, here's an evidence. God saved them and gave them the Holy Spirit. And now you're going to come along trying to add something else to it? So they're listening to Peter, and they got real quiet. And he made no distinction between us and them. Peter said the same thing with us. God did the same thing with them that he did with us. There's no difference whatsoever. Now, therefore, why you make such a trial of God that you should put a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we couldn't do it. Why are you trying to make them do it? We couldn't do it. We shall be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus in like manner, just like them. Peter said, we're just like them. Just like them. And all the multitude, look at this. They kept quiet because Peter's speaking. If anybody, remember now, God trains Peter, why? With Cornelius. He said, oh, I'm not having anything to do with those pagans. I'm clean. And God got on to him, and then he went down and shared with Cornelius, and he saw what God did with Cornelius just because Cornelius believed. He had faith. God had wrought among the Gentiles through them, and after that they held their peace, and James answered and said, and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath rehearsed how first God visited the Gentiles to take away them a people for his name, and to this agreed the words of the prophets as written. And then he quotes a long section from Amos that I didn't put in there. And James, who is the leader of the church in Jerusalem now, And he says, wherefore my judgment is that we trouble not them that are from among the Gentiles turn to God. We don't try to say that somebody needs to be baptized to be saved. We don't try to say that they need to be a church member to be saved. Should they be baptized? Absolutely. Does it save them? Absolutely not. Should they be a church member? Absolutely. Does it save them? Absolutely not. No. And that's exactly the same issue. You know, if you listen, everybody, if you're not careful, they start out in a good place, but before long, they're adding something to Jesus. Baptists, Methodists, Catholics, Presbyterian, no one's immune to it. I mean, it's always. People that started out good that I know, they're gone. Now it's Jesus plus. And a lot of it is, I can save myself. Oh, you just talk it. Oh, and it'll come to pass. If that's not work salvation, what is? Oh, well, that's not what they mean. Boil it on down. You'll see that's exactly what they mean. They don't talk about Jesus. Oh, you can do this. This is your day. You just say it with your mouth and it'll come to pass. Who's that sound like? Joel Osteen? Yeah, absolutely. A lot of those. A lot of those. I did just a little reading and it's kind of crazy. I stumbled on at least 100 cults that then have divisions underneath those cults. And every one of them, and some of them twice, have a different idea of how somebody gets to heaven. I mean, it's crazy. How about the names of a couple of these? Order of the Solar Temple. You ever heard of that one? These are alive and well now. I mean, people are adhere to this kind of stuff. They worship it. They believe in it. Christ the Savior Brotherhood. Know that one? How about this one? The Church of Bible Understanding Forever Family. Heaven's Magic. This is what he said. The leader was Moses David. He said, I'm Aquarius. I am the water barrier. The water barrier of whom all others were just types. I'm Aquarius. This is my age. Jesus told me so. Yeah? Because I'm bringing the water of life to this generation. False prophet. You remember what they did in the Old Testament with a false prophet? If they said something was going to come to pass and it didn't come to pass, what did they do to them? They killed them. We don't have that today. We just send them money. Heaven's Gate. Remember that one? I don't know if you ever really thought about what this guy believed. He was abducted by a UFO and brought back David. And intellectual computer geeks followed it. Can you believe that? False prophets. Oh, it looks, you say, well, how? It's easy. We're so gullible. We'll believe anything. Sometimes, anyway. New Thought. How about that one? Universal Fellowship of Metropolitan Community Churches, Church of Gays. It was a former Baptist pastor who came out of the closet, had a family, left them, and started a church because, I won't even read to you that paragraph of how he described it. Still existing. Oh, this is how you get saved. Everybody in the brother has a way. They want to add something to it. It ain't just Jesus. That's what the issue was. It is still the issue. Turn on the television and see what they tell you you need to do. You know, we watched a short clip of Jordan Peterson's. He has a lot of videos on YouTube. You need to watch him if you never have. God's got him about this close to being saved. He understands more theologically in man than most theological professors. And this is one thing, you know, several times people ask him, do you believe in God? And he says, I'm not an agnostic and I'm not an atheist anymore. He said, but I never just say, yeah. I always say, I want to live my life as if God exists. But he went on to explain it a little bit. He said, when he started breaking down the word believe, this is what he meant. He said, you know, when someone says, I believe, that means what you really believe, your life shows it. In his fallen nature, here's his problem. He thinks until he can live it perfectly, he can't even say he believes. Well, we're on the other side of that. We live on so much grace, we think, well, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but I still live like a pagan, and it's okay. No, it's not okay. At least he's got that part right. You know, if you say you believe this, it should be coming out in your life. Right? And the false prophets say, oh, no, God understands. It's okay. No, it ain't. And everybody and the brother's got an idea. Oh, yeah, this is how you get right. This is how you get right. It's wild. I was listening to a short testimony of a biochemist who was an atheist, become agnostic, and then became a believer over a long period of time. And the guy that was interviewing him was asking him, well, how did this thing start to happen? He said, you know, my parents were, or what would he, did he call them? He said they were card-carrying Marxists. You know what that is, right? And he said, so I wasn't raised anything, didn't believe in God, didn't believe in the Bible, never went to church. But he was a scientist, biochemist. And he said, I started looking at all this stuff scientifically, and it wasn't squaring with what everybody else was saying. He said, something ain't right here. So when he started studying about how these things work, and especially in evolution and how these things come together, he said, no, that don't work. All these people out there say that works. He said, but I know that is not the way that works. And it drove him to the place that he says, there has to be something else sort of behind this, making this thing work. It's called evolution can't do this from a chemical perspective. And he became a believer. And, you know, through that process. Why? Because everybody else is saying this, and nobody wants to check it out. It's crazy. It's the same thing. James says, listen, what we need to do is this. We need to send these guys back down to Antioch and these other places that Paul had been and tell them, you don't listen to those guys. You know, they go down there. It's amazing. Somebody get a little bit of education, they think they know everything. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? So these guys coming down there said, we are the angels of light. So we're going to tell you that you're wrong and you need to do this. So they said, oh, no, we're going to send these guys back down here. And they add another one to it, Silas, because they didn't want the people that are going to be hearing this to think that it was biased. And they sent a letter with them. So we want to make sure you understand this. It is just Jesus. It's not any of these ceremonial things that the Jews are trying to add to you. Here's something you need to understand about Judaism. And the Jews then especially, they saw Judaism as being completed in Christianity because the Messiah who had been promised to the Jews came to fulfillment in Christianity. But you can't by any chance just go from being a pagan and jump over to Christianity. Oh, no. You got to go through Judaism. You got to become a Jew. In order to do that, you got to do all their ceremony things. The men had to be circumcised, follow all these laws. It's kind of like this. If you go to, I guess you got, most hotels anyway, have, if you go to their public bathroom, there's a set of doors you go in, then there's a little space, and there's another set of doors before you go in the bathroom. Y'all have all seen that? And they're, what do they call that? Holding place? I don't know. But y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So you go through the first set of doors, and then there's a little space, and then you go through the second door. For the Jews, the first set of doors was Judaism. The second door was Christianity. You can't be saved. You can't get to that second door without going through the first door. You see how that works? It's just like a church saying, oh, no, no, there ain't no way you can go to heaven unless you're baptized in our church. You can't go to heaven unless you are baptized. You can't go to heaven unless you are just like us. See, that's the same thing. Same thing we have now. And everybody and the brother has an idea as to what that's supposed to be. And it's called false prophets. And it sounds so good. I mean, it's slick. The devil's slick, you know. I remember one of those episodes with Last Man Standing. You know, he was pretty outspoken politically. I don't know if you ever saw that. He was not for Obama or for Hillary. And on one of the episodes, he was talking about that, and his wife, who is, I guess, you're a little bit more diplomatic, and tried to say, well, now, you know, Hillary used to be a Barry Goldwater fan. He said, what's your point? Satan used to work for God. That don't mean anything. Just because Beth Moore started over here doesn't mean that's where she is now. Just because Joel never started in the right place. But just because he starts over here, that's not where he is now. And we got a lot of Baptist people who started right. Boy, they're going off the deep end now. I mean, they have. Personally, I know them, and I'm sad. Why? Because they influence people. And they didn't used to be there. They sold out. Why? Want everybody to like them? That's a lot of it. Man, you start reading some of these, what these people do now. Well, I don't have time to get into that. But that we write into them, we're going to send a letter down and make sure this thing is right because we don't want everybody out there, the Jews, the Gentiles especially, thinking that the Jerusalem church, and that's where they would look for their authority then, that the Jerusalem church has written down here and sent these guys to tell you, oh, no, you got to do this, you got to do this. No, no, no. We want to make sure not only do these guys tell them, we're going to send a letter verifying that this is exactly what's right. Don't pay any attention to those nutcases out there. Okay? You have to do a little research that's not on Google if you're going to get the truth behind some of these people. Because everybody in the name of Jesus doesn't tell you the story. They don't. And we have to be real, real careful. What did they do? They disagreed. Remember what it says in verse 1? It said when they came down, and there was much dissension. When Paul and Barnabas heard these guys and what they were trying to tell these Gentiles, they said, oh, no, we shouldn't have a conversation. You know, there's nothing wrong with talking with people that you disagree with. It's a sin nowadays because you're not supposed to disagree. Isn't that right? Well, he can believe what he wants to, and it doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter. The truth matters. This ministry of truth won't even keep their own self truthful. How are they going to keep somebody else in the truth picture, eh? Go check that out. I'm not making that up, by the way. You know that, right? I know I'm not supposed to be political, but it's such a great illustration. The ones that's going to hold us accountable to tell the truth is lying to us? Hello? The preachers that are supposed to be telling us the truth are lying to us? False prophets? Yeah, still going on. They said, oh, no. So they said, we get to fix this deal. So they said, we'll have to go up to Jerusalem because that's where the hub was. And all of them went up there, and they're talking, and they're going through it. And remember what it says? And the Pharisees could be saved. The Sadducees couldn't be saved. Why? If they believed like a Sadducee believed, you couldn't be saved. They didn't believe in heaven. They didn't believe in hell. They didn't believe in the Old Testament. They didn't believe in resurrection. Man, if you throw all that out, you don't have a chance. But the Pharisees came and said, oh, no, they've got to do these rituals that we've been doing. We can't have these Gentiles coming over here and skipping over us. They'll be pushed us out of the picture. We'll lose our significance. Boy, does that sound reasonable? I mean, does that sound what goes on in churches? Well, my goodness, we let them people in and they'll be taken over. We can't have them in here. That's what was going on. So they had a serious disagreement. But then they discussed it, and they got together, and they presented facts, historical facts. The past was God saved these people way back then, 10 years ago, and he didn't require this, so we can't require it now. And the result was they came to a conclusion. They said, listen, send a letter. But one of the main things that James points out in this letter is, well, I didn't read it. Let me go down to the last part of it. I thought I did. No, I didn't. Basically, what he said is this. Not only are the Jews not to try to force things on the Gentiles are not to abuse the Jews. Wait a minute. Here's how that works. The Gentiles now are free. They understand that, you know, Paul dealt with this specifically when he was talking about food offered to idols. You remember that situation? You know, food that was off to an idol, the idol was fake anyway. They didn't consume the food, so they'd take it down and sell it at the market, and they could sell it for, you know, a dime on the dollar. So you could buy it cheap, and if you were already poor, you'd go buy that food. But some of the people that were religious conscience bothered them. They said, oh, no, we can't eat that food. It was offered to an idol. And Paul goes in there and says, well, we know it doesn't mean anything. We know God's going to bless whatever he gives us. So it, really he's saying that's not even an issue. But if one of your Christian brothers or sisters has a serious problem with you eating that meat, you can't eat that in front of him. You need to take that home and eat it by yourself where nobody sees you. Don't do anything to dull his conscience. And James says the same thing. Listen, you understand it's by grace that you're saved, but he goes on and he talks about all these Jewish ceremonial things, about what? One of the main things he says, how you eat the right food that's strangled right and doesn't have blood in it. They wouldn't dare to do that. The Jews wouldn't. So they're saying, even though you're free now and you understand that has nothing to do with it, don't hurt your Jewish brothers and sisters by doing that in front of them. He just set out some practical guidelines. He said, you know, and it's amazing how somebody early on in life can see how something simple is really not a sin, but for somebody else, it's a major thing. So instead of harming them, just don't do it in their presence. Basically what he says. I mean, make sure that it's okay first. You know, one of those things, alcohol. You know, in my day and time, what little bit of church I had as an 18-year-old, people preach against it. It wasn't okay to drink at all. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you it's not okay to drink. It's wrong to be a drunk, and you can go to hell from that one. What? That's what Matthew says. Drunkards shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's what it says. So here's the problem. If you know Otis over here has a serious problem with drinking, maybe he's been delivered from it, and he sees all the ramifications from it, and he just, oh, it's just horrible, and it tears him down. Whatever you do, don't you ever drink anywhere near around him. That's what it means. That's what James is saying when he says, don't do these things that the Jews are so high on. It's part of the way that it doesn't really matter. That's not going to affect their salvation, but you don't need to do it. Same thing. You know, and people offend people all the time because they say, well, that doesn't bother me. And he says, think about it. So he's telling the Jews and the Gentiles, think about somebody. And he's warning the Gentiles, you're free and you understand it. He talks about this in Galatians all the time, the whole book. You know, Galatians was written before this took place. And he's writing to Galatians and he says, wait a minute. I was just with you and taught you about these things. How have you already backpedaled so far back that you've left behind? Because they're trying to add something to their salvation that they got by grace. So he said, what happened? What did you do? Be careful. Here's the main thing. Do you know what the Bible says? Not what I say. Not what Joel Osteen says or Charles Stanley or anybody else. Do you know what the Bible says about how a person is genuinely saved, delivered from the condemnation of their sin, so when they die, they don't end up in hell? Much less the profits you get from living for Jesus now, just that's an aside. Do you understand what that means? And the second part is, are you doing it? Or you listen to somebody else, well, you know, Otis over there, he says that ain't the way it is. I'm just saying, you got to work through the thing. You can't just take somebody's word for it. The Bible is pretty plain on how it works. Go back and look at Paul. Go back and look at Peter. Go back at what Jesus says. All those things tell us exactly. All these other people just come along and they want to add something to it. Why? Because it's fluff. And somebody would rather hear that, oh, yeah, you know, Brother Doug is one of these Sunday nights. He's gonna give us a quick study on Mormonism. And he's got the stuff together. We just got to work it out. But I was reading back on some of the Mormon stuff, and I'm thinking, how many people even realize that that's what their doctrine is? You know, that gods were just men one time and rose themselves up to that place. And nobody can be saved unless Brigham Young says you can be saved. Did you know that's in there? Doug probably does. And they go, oh, they're good people, but they're false. They're a cult. I don't know if you remember in 1998, we were actually still in Mexico, but the Southern Baptist Convention was in Salt Lake City. So our Southern Baptist leaders, who then had some backbone and guts about them, said, why don't we sit down and talk about this? Y'all try to tell us, the Mormons, you try to tell us that you're just like us and you believe just like us. Why don't we sit down and have a panel and ask questions back and forth? And you know what came out of it? I want to read this little quote for you. Paige Patterson was talking with them. And this is what, I think I put it in here. Or did I? Oh, yeah, here it is. This is what the president, Gordon B. Hinckley, of the Mormon church said. He says this, the Latter-day Saints do not believe in the traditional Christ. They don't believe Jesus was God in the flesh. They don't believe that. He said that. It's in print. He said that. So when a Mormon comes up, you say, well, you're just like us. And you say, well, no, you're not. False doctrine. And people get sucked in it. Why? Because they do a lot of good stuff. They do. I don't care how much good you do, it's not going to get you to heaven. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. Works is not going to do it. Paige Patterson wrote him back, and this is what he said. I appreciate you being honest. We get together and talk about these things, and people lie. They're chameleons. They'll agree with this one. You know, Peter was guilty of that. Remember when Paul got in his face? You know what happened? Like a lot of us, you know how teenagers are. They're over here with this group, and they're kind of the uppity group, so they'll hang out with them, and they won't hang out with you. But whenever that group's not over here, they'll hang out with you. Any of y'all in that group? Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? So Peter is over there with the Gentiles and eating with them and hanging out with them because he understood it, but some of the higher upper Jews came down, and he said, oh, no, I can't eat with y'all. So he goes back over with the Jews only. And Paul got in his face. He said, what are you doing? He was messing the thing up himself. He said, listen, you ain't any better than the Gentiles out of. Why are you doing that? So he didn't help it. Churches don't help it. False prophets, boy, they sure do not help it. The question is, do you really understand what the Bible says about how you're saved, and are you doing that? I can't do it for you. Your mom and daddy can't do it for you. Nobody else can do it for you. Only you can do that. If you ever have any questions about that and you want to try to clarify it, there, I can help. I'll be glad to go with the scripture with you or somebody else in the church, and we'll sit down and we'll look at it. You don't just have to take my word for it. But the main thing is, are you ready? That's the main thing. What's the famous line in Ephesians that Paul wrote? We are saved through grace by faith. Not of works, lest you could boast. Ain't nothing you can do to save yourself. Nothing. That was it. Still is. Pay attention to what you're watching on television, what you're reading in books. Everything that's got the name of Jesus on it ain't Jesus. And it'll lead you down a bad path. We must be careful. And share with people the truth in love. Why? Because we love them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you do love us. Thank you that you gave us the truth. Father, help us in as much love as possible to share it. But Father, help us examine our own lives individually to see, really, do we understand what salvation is? Do we really understand it's supposed to affect our lives? Do we really believe it? And are we even attempting to live it out? Father, help us be honest. Send your Holy Spirit to convict us. Send someone to help us get to the place where you want us to be, so that our lives will bring glory to you, and people will want to be saved as a result of that. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.